Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation to the Bob Benyart Live February Telethon. During our telethon this month, we're offering a free gift, Bob's video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, when you become a new subscriber to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month, and with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Benyart Live shows every month. By becoming a new subscriber to any of Bob's monthly products, making a new monthly donation of $20 or more, or a one-time donation of $50, you'll receive the video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, free of charge, special this month for the Bob Benyart Live February Telethon.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our telethon just has shot up over the last 24 hours or so. Thank you very much for those who want to see this show continue on the air. We were at 11,000 something. Now we're at $16,900. $16,900. Thank you so very much. We did have a caller yesterday, a listener, who purchased 5 of Greg Jackson's books, We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again. We were offering these for $100 donation to the telethon of $100 or more. So our listener called and said, I would like to give $500 to purchase 5 of them. And if 5 more people will each buy a book, donate $100 to the telethon, then I'll buy 5 more. So that would be another $500 for a total of $1,000 from one listener. Wow, that's humbling. So if you can help out with any of the subscriptions we mentioned yesterday, Bible studies, topical DVDs, seminars, sermons, we have so much fun with all that, any of the books, the science materials we sell, or Greg Jackson and Steve Day's book, We Won't Get Fooled Again. For a donation of $100 or more, you get this as a gift, and then our caller from yesterday will add to his gift. So thank you so much. In fact, if one person calls to donate $100 toward the telethon and gets this book, then that'll put us over the 17,000 mark. So one caller, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Of course, yesterday we talked about the tragedy that occurred in Ohio with the school shooting, yet another school shooting. And I'm thinking about the person who was in the media all last week who didn't want to be, hates being in the news, and he was in the news for the whole week. You remember who that was? It was Satan. Satan does not like being in the news, but he was in the news. And on KOA radio over the weekend, there was a fill-in talk show host, Dan. And Dan said, you know, it's ridiculous to think that Satan is involved in America's culture. And he said, in Hollywood, in music, it's just in, you know, TV entertainment generally, it's just ridiculous, he said. He said, if you want to see Satan, you'd have to look at murderers and rapists. Child molesters. He said that's where you'd see Satan's influence, not in our culture. But it turns out that when you have an epidemic of sexual assaults, an epidemic of murders, an epidemic of murder-suicide, that those things do not happen in a vacuum. You could have a good, healthy society where you have a murder take place. But when you have a murder epidemic, when you have an epidemic of students killing one another at our schools across the country, when you have an epidemic of sexual assault, an epidemic of rape, an epidemic of teachers having sex with students. It used to be the biggest scandal in the world if a student became pregnant in a high school. Today, the students have sex in the high school, and it's not that big of a deal. And the teachers have sex with the students in the high school, and you can't keep track of it all. And there's no way to keep track of all the shootings and the murders in our schools. This is reason number 349 to take your kids out of public school. We talked about this tragedy yesterday, and sadly, the death toll has increased today in Ohio to 3. And then in Long Beach, California, there's that little girl, the 10-year-old Joanna Ramos, who died after a fight with an 11-year-old at their elementary school. Well, they were in an alley by their elementary school, and she was hit with a fist. The 11-year-old hit the 10-year-old with her fist, and the girl died of a blood clot on her brain. What a great tragedy. So I'd like to talk for a bit about what happened in Ohio and see what lessons we should be able to draw from this. And this is, by the way, this is a biblical motif. This is a biblical process of taking the news of the day and understanding it from a scriptural perspective. Remember in Jerusalem back 2,000 years ago, there was a tower in Siloam, and it fell? Construction workers had built a tower in Siloam. By the way, this is in the debate I was involved in. I debated a professor of New Testament from D. James Kennedy's seminary in Florida. And we have this debate. It's on the future. Is the future settled or open? Bob Enyar versus Professor Dr. Samuel Lamerson. And we talk about the Tower of Siloam in the debate. There was a tower, and it fell over, and it killed 18 people. Great tragedy. So those 18 who were killed, why did that happen? How do you interpret that? Do you interpret it? Do you somehow think that when something like that happens, it's evidence that God was punishing those people or their families because, well, things happen for a reason? Do you think that's it? By the way, you could find this in Luke chapter 13. You could also find it in our seminar on predestination and free will. You know, we have that on DVD. And we also have it on an audio MP3 or immediately downloadable. And you get that fabulous artwork that was reproduced in the Jerusalem Post for their article on predestination and free will. They used our artwork for the cover of our predestination and free will Bible teachings because it's simply the best in the world, as is true with so much of the artwork that adorns our Bible teaching resources and our topical DVDs. A lot of thought has gone into a lot of it. My life's work, The Plot, which is our best-selling Bible resource, it's an overview of the whole Bible. There's a secret about the artwork in The Plot. In fact, a lot of our materials have just extraordinary messages in the artwork. Well, there's a secret about the artwork, the cover artwork for The Plot, and maybe I shouldn't say it on the air because then forever the secret would be out. But if you have a copy of The Plot, or if you ever get it, feel free to call when we're off the air or send an email and let me know if you figured out what the secret of the artwork for The Plot is. That'd be fun. But it turns out that these people died in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ himself took that news story, that was a headline, Tower Falls Kills 18 People. He took that news story and he used it as an opportunity to teach people about right and wrong. And he got a little bit angry at the superstition of the people around him because they assumed that, you know, this happened for a reason and probably God was punishing those people by having the tower fall on them. They must have been really bad sinners, and that's why it happened. And Jesus said, I know that you're thinking that's why it happened. And he said, I tell you, no, that's not why it happened. The tower fell. These kids who were killed in Ohio, do you think it's because God micromanaged and God wanted those kids dead and he wanted the other two injured? Is that it? Of course not. In Columbine, the great tragedy of the interpretation of what happened and the absurd parallels that were drawn or attempted to be drawn, and the false claim that God had this happen because he had a plan to evangelize Littleton, Colorado, and Jefferson County, and the nation. And God was going to use Columbine to bring revival. That is a misrepresentation of God. You know, if somebody impersonates an officer, that's not right, is it? Is it right to impersonate an officer? Of course not. Well, how about impersonating God? How about speaking for God when God warns us and he says, if somebody says, thus saith the Lord, and I did not say it, then that's a false prophet. Mark that person. Let that person lose credibility in your eyes when they say, God did this. God had this happen for a reason. He's going to do X, Y, Z out of it. And then X, Y, Z doesn't happen. And Christians forget that we're supposed to defend the honor and the reputation of God. And when people speak falsely in his name, we should confront them and say, don't do that. What you said was not true. It has not come to pass. It wasn't true. So stop. Don't say, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken. So in Chardon, Ohio, my wife Cheryl is from Ohio, Middletown, Ohio, and her whole family is back there. We get to go visit them once in a while. By the way, I'll just tell a small private detail, but Cheryl comes from a large family. We just love her family and have a great time with them. Her mother, who's a strong believer in the Lord, passed away some years ago. Her brother, very young guy, an airplane pilot, also a strong believer in the Lord, the most cheerful, wonderful guy. When he'd fly into Denver and have to stay the night, he'd stay with us. His name is Lonnie. He was killed in a plane crash in Mexico just a while back. So we were back in Ohio for his funeral, but we know he's with the Lord. So this tragedy in an Ohio public high school, this terrible tragedy, now it turns out that three students have died, were murdered by another student, TJ Lane, who today was in a courthouse for a juvenile hearing. And if you've been thinking about right and wrong right there, you know that that's a great tragedy. A juvenile justice system is a travesty of justice. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. What juvenile justice does, a juvenile courthouse, it lowers the threshold for teenagers to become criminals. The last thing in the world you'd want to do is lower the threshold. So we have a society today that is in a moral free fall. And we have an epidemic of murder-suicide. And an epidemic of kids killing kids. I wouldn't call him a kid. He's a murderer. We have an epidemic of sexual assault. So if our neighboring radio station, a little higher on the AM dial, so their signal doesn't go as far as KLTT's, AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful radio station in Colorado, and the most powerful Christian radio station in America. KLTT, we teach here that when you have a murder epidemic and sexual assault epidemic, and an epidemic of students killing other students at our schools, then that doesn't happen in a vacuum. If indeed such things are satanic, as Dana KOA said this weekend, they don't happen in a vacuum. They are the fruit of a godless and violent culture. If you had one murder in an otherwise healthy society, you wouldn't blame the society, you'd blame only the murderer. But when you have an epidemic of violent crime that we've all gotten used to, the way a frog gets used to the water gradually heating up until he's boiled to death, we've all gotten used to the epidemic of divorce and the epidemic of child killing in the womb and the epidemic of sexual assault and the epidemic of school violence, murders. We've gotten used to this epidemic of prostitution and pornography and homosexuality. So we've gotten used to this epidemic, and an epidemic is not only the fault of each of the murderers. Their crimes are their fault, yes, but when you have an epidemic, that is because you have one of the worst criminal justice systems in the world, not the best, and your society is utterly broken. So when you have an epidemic of these kinds of violent crimes and sexual crimes and crimes against children and crimes where children kill other children, as happened in California when an 11-year-old punched a 10-year-old in the face, and the 10-year-old then later died. For all the years we've been on the air since 1991, we just received a gift for our telethon of $500. Thank you very, very much. I'll find out more about that in a moment, I imagine. But that puts us over the 17,000, way over. We're now at $17,400, $17,400. Our goal for this month is $30,000. We're now over half. Just in the last 24 hours, we got over the 50% mark, and we're nearing in on the $20,000 mark. Nearing in, $2,600 would bring us to $20,000. And I know that is an awful lot of money, and I doubt that anybody could give that much. Well, some people could, but people who might be inclined, I doubt it. But it is possible that somebody might give $2,600 to bring us to the $20,000 mark before the end of this afternoon. And then we'd be a full two-thirds of the way toward our goal. So we have an epidemic of these crimes, which means that the talk show host at that less powerful radio station, higher on the dial, where the wattage doesn't take you as far, the lower on the dial you are, AM radio, the further the same wattage will take the signal. And so my family, we're up in the mountains often in Colorado, and we hear KLTT radio everywhere. And we have listeners in Nebraska and Kansas and Wyoming, and even in Oklahoma, and through most of Colorado, which is such an honor to be on the station for 20 years, since 1991. Wow, what an honor. But all this time, we have been warning people that when you think that we have the best justice system in the world, when you hear lawyers and judges telling you that, and it turns out that we have among the highest violent crime rates in the world, you should doubt what these judges and lawyers are telling you in a very self-serving way. That's like the people who own Taco Bell telling you that America has the healthiest fast food in the world. Well, all right, that's I hear what you're saying. You know, I'm going to think about that. Maybe I'll look into it. You hear our lawyers and our judges saying we have the best criminal justice system in the world, and you think, well, wait, if that were true, would we have about the highest incarceration rate in the world of any country? Would we have about the highest violent crime rate in the world? Would we have about the highest sexual assault rate? I'm not saying the highest, but I'm saying way up there. We're not way up there when it comes to math and science education, but we're way up there when it comes to rape. We're way up there. Way up there when it comes to divorce. Way up there. Way up there when it comes to murder. And when it comes to violent crime in our schools, students killing other students, we're just way up there. So when you hear a judge tell you, when you go to jury duty, most of what you hear the judge say to you, you should question and doubt, because experience tells us that it's very self-serving. So when you hear them say that we have the best system in the world, you should rethink that and wonder, well, maybe what he means by that is we have the highest paid lawyers in the world and the highest paid judges in the world with the best retirement benefits in the world. And maybe that's why they say we have the best system in the world. They mean for them. They don't mean for the victims of violent crime. They don't mean for the families of the victims. They don't mean for the neighborhoods and for the society. They mean for their own pocketbook. That's what they, now it makes total sense. And by the way, we have a seminar from the scriptures, God's Criminal Justice System. It's just absolutely a stunning seminar going through the principles of criminal justice. If I could list some of the governing authorities who've attended that seminar or who I've had the opportunity to spend time with, everybody from the law partners of governors to prosecutors, district attorneys, to a federal judge, two federal judges, looking at our material in our biblical presentation of criminal justice principles and saying, you know what? That's what we need. That would fix our broken system. That would fix it. So when we look and listen and we see that T.J. Lane, this murderer, went to juvenile court. Now, they might bump him up to adult court. They might. But that's not the point. The point is you want to raise the threshold for teenagers to become criminals. You don't want to lower the threshold. So you could predict when you make it less serious for kids to commit crime, then you're going to increase the number of kids who commit crimes, and you're going to increase the average number of crimes committed by the average kid. And that's the bottom line of our entire criminal justice system, the entire system. So here at Bob and Yurt Live, when we go to the scriptures and we find the solution, the answer for the tragedy of abortion, and when we see here's how Christians need to fight in order to one day stop child killing in America, we need to fight for personhood and not to regulate how to kill kids, how and when to kill kids. When you study God's word and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you could think more clearly and you could actually be an asset and a benefit to society when you express your opinion and you try to influence those around you. To the extent that people hear what you're saying, you actually could be a positive influence and not a negative influence. If we gave 100% control of our government to leading Christian ministries in America, 100% control, I would predict that within 10 years, the nation would be more debased, more immoral, more godless, and even more violent than it is today. That would be my prediction based on what? Focus on the family saying, well, we can't fight to stop pornography. We fight to regulate pornography. Regulate it. Oh, we would never support Colorado's Amendment 2, which tried to restrain the homosexual agenda being foisted upon families and churches and businesses. No, we would not support that. That's from the dark ages. We would no longer ever support anything like that. Oh, advocate for a human life amendment, personhood? No, that's a mistake. That's a big mistake. We advocate for regulating child killing and supporting people like Mitt Romney and John McCain, who are liberal pro-homosexual pro-aborts. So when we teach Christians by the millions to compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, guess what happens? When you make a Christian father a moral relativist to go into the voting booth, Guess what he is when he walks in his front door? When you teach Christian dads to be moral relativists so that they can walk into the voting booth to pull the lever for your partisan candidate, guess what he is when he walks in the front door of his home? He's the same guy. He's still a moral relativist. Guess what he is at the elder meeting at church when he's deciding on an important issue for his congregation? Guess what he is? He's the same guy. He's a moral relativist. And moral relativism has swamped the body of Christ. The body of Christ is drowning in a cesspool of moral relativism. And that comes from our parachurch ministries, our national ministries, that because of their lust for political power and revenue, because of that, they've taught people, when you go to vote, don't worry about God's command, do not murder. Don't worry about that. Just vote for this guy. Oh, they say he's pro-abortion. Don't worry about that. He's not as pro-abortion as the other guy. So you become a moral relativist. And pretty soon you don't know what marriage is anymore yourself. So this great tragedy, you know, the murderer, T.J. Lane, had a girlfriend and they just recently broke up. And Russell King had recently started dating T.J. Lane's ex-girlfriend. And now Russell King is dead. He's one of the three who were murdered. And we talk about that so often here at Bob Inyart Live. Because of political correctness, the FBI doesn't keep track of fornication-related crime and adultery-related crime, sexual immorality-related crime, only drug-related, but not this which God elevates as a crisis.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom in teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Inyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-INYART or online at kgovstore.com.